Hello, welcome to Charity Chat. I'm your host, Samuel Davies. In this episode, we speak with Jeremy Hay, Chief Executive Officer, and Simon Steed, Your Voice Engagement Manager at TalkBack UK. We talk about the challenges that their charity is facing as they seek to support autistic people and people with learning disabilities. We also talk about how working with councils and other charities is helping them to deliver their work and how they are working with businesses to meet their members' needs. This episode of Charity Chat has been brought to you by our platinum sponsor, Work for Good. Work for Good is a fundraising platform helping businesses raise funds for charities through their sales. The platform makes the legal agreement needed for businesses to fundraise from sales quick and simple, saving charities time and resource and enabling them to raise more unrestricted income. Pop to workforgood.co.uk to learn more and to book a free demo. So without further ado, here is Jeremy Hay and Simon Steed speaking about charities, businesses, learning disabilities and autism. I'm delighted to be joined by Jeremy Hay, also known as Jay, Chief Executive Officer, and Simon Steed, Your Voice Engagement Manager at TalkBack UK. Jay, Simon, welcome. Charity Chats.
Nice to talk to you, Sam. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Sam.
Jay, what's your background and what's led you to become the CEO of TalkBack UK?
Corporate world, had donkey's years running major corporates and dropped out of that in my early 40s to do my own thing, work in the charity sector, do various things around the country with gang and youth crime. But about 12 years ago, I formed a group with a group of people I knew for people with learning disabilities. And it's always been an interest of mine. It was a private group. It's just a social group in the evenings once a month. Built that to about 30 people. And I never thought about working. An international charity asked me to go and work for them. So I worked for an international charity all over the world, Uganda and Kenya and all over, doing various things, which was a real privilege. And then I saw the opportunity here at TalkBack, and I put in for it because I've always wanted to work with two groups of people, particularly who are vulnerable and underrepresented. So people with learning disability and autistic people. And this is a dream job for me.
What was your kind of basis, if you don't mind talking about it, for that interest? Was it, have you got people in your life that have got disabilities?
So when I was I've always, from a kid, we've always had, used to have friends with Down syndrome, things like that. And my mother was very interested in that world. And so I was going in what you used to call institutes. I was working in institutes and when I was a kid with her, just visiting and, you know, where they used to put together, a strange world that used to be, but it used to put together, you know, I don't know, little things, units and everything else, getting paid by the unit. And I was in those things back in, sounds like I'm about 110 years old, doesn't it? But it was very much prevalent in this country and it was very meaningful for a lot of people. So I was involved with people like that. It was probably about 12 onwards. So, yeah.
Thanks, Jay. And Simon, you're the Your Voice Engagement Manager at TalkBack UK. Can you tell us a little bit about your reasons for getting into the role?
Well, I've just passed, it's quite timely, I've just passed my 10-year anniversary at TalkBack. And but my famous story in internal circles is that I went from TalkTalk to TalkBack. Worked in the corporate world for 15 years. Upon reflection, it was never enough for me, really. There had to be something more for me to do for a career. I wanted to establish a more meaningful career, shall we say. And at the time, I was early 30s back then, TalkTalk relocated the office I was working at back to Manchester. So it was either join them in Manchester or look for something new. And as I say, I was early 30s and I've been thinking about the future. And I saw a project worker role at TalkBack advertised, no previous experience, but got the interview and got the job. And 10 years later, in all seriousness, haven't looked back. Ultimately, and it's flown by, and I really could write a book on what I've learned, to be fair. So it's, I think people say they find their vocations, and it's certainly true with me.
And before your career at TalkTalk, had you had experience of working, living with people with these types of disabilities?
No, I didn't. I have to say I didn't. But there was something within me that wanted to help people. It's part of who I am, and what I like about joining and working in this sector, working for Talkback, is that I am me within the workplace and outside as well. 99.9. Yeah. Whereas with the corporate world, you're slightly different. The personal skills and the transferable skills that you that are quickly found, you can transfer from the corporate world into this sector, really. But no, but there was always something within me, I think, who wanted to help, and they've got the personal skills to do so, the ones that can't be taught, I think.
And what are the challenges that Talkback UK has faced in recent years, and how has your approach helped to overcome these challenges?
I think there's three or four challenges that are major. One is that, you know, as is reported nationally, but there's, you know, we all know there's funding black holes everywhere. There's in the special education needs sector, there's probably about a 2.4 billion black hole across the country, which affects every council, affects every provider to the councils. So we've had to find funding of our own a lot more. So 10% of our funding now has to come from somewhere else to keep the services up. Two, there's lack of definition of what is a learning disability, what is autism, people who are not diagnosed and everything. And so no one actually knows the number. If you ask anybody the number about people with learning disabilities, people will say it's 1.5 million. Well, it's been 1.5 million for the last 20 years. People haven't changed the number. Autism is not defined in any councils, and Milton Keynes actually is one of the better councils, to be honest. It really does do some really good work around it, but no one's quite sure how many people are out there with autism, autistic people. No one's quite sure who's diagnosed, not diagnosed, and that whole diagnosis process, as we would find out. So if you had a child, it might take you up to 2 years if you're in Buckinghamshire to get diagnosed, which is quite astounding for a three-year-old. You think, gosh, it must be quite quick. Then there's a lack of help after diagnosis of getting occupational speech and language therapy, and that's the children. You get up to adults like me, you know, there's 7 years if I'm going to get a diagnosis, if I'm lucky. And then what's the help? Well, why would you do it? Actually, the reason you might do it is because it might explain the rest of your life, you know, why you've always been this or why everyone treated you differently. It might help you with an explanation. And so there's that second point. The third point is, I think there's a real big misunderstanding of the abilities of people, you know, and I could quote you the Bill Gates and the Steve Jobs and people like that who will be on this, you know, you can say, I don't like the word spectrum at all because it's such a wide thing, who have been diagnosed. So Lionel Messi's diagnosed, you know, some major people out there doing major things, but other people don't understand that necessarily and don't see the talent and the ability. And actually, you bring in someone with autism and you've got a typical work problem, they'll look at the problem possibly in a different way and give you a different solution to the 19 other people sitting in the room. And that's significant. So helping people understand that. And then two is, there's, I think Simon's beautifully pointed out, you know, self-esteem, confidence, everything else for the person. It's about helping the person deal with life challenges and have the same opportunities as everybody else. That's all we want. You know, it's the same opportunity. I don't want any better. I don't want worse. I just want the same for all the people we work with and for the people we don't work with who have are called, you know, learning disabilities or autistic. You know, mm-hmm. Under those two banners, there's huge numbers of people. Just want them to have the same opportunities. And that's my big drive day in, day out.
It feels like we're living in a time where we're a bit more open as a society to people's differences and accepting of those differences. That sounds a bit naive, I guess, in the context of they're probably understanding that also the people are being hamstrung because they're maybe not being understood. Is what you guys stand for ultimately helping more broadly for people to better understand each other, do you think?
We all have the same. We're all human beings. We're all unique. And that's no different, regardless of disability, condition, whatever. Ultimately, it comes back to, and it sounds, you know, basic, but that's it. It's, we're all unique, we're all human, and working together to provide, to get people to showcase their hidden talents and their talents, you know.
I think there's another part to that, and Simon's right, there's another part, Sam. If you take the, you know, take stats, and I don't like stats because they can be misused, but 20 years ago in this country, they did a big measure and they said 6% of people with learning disabilities are employed who would like to be employed. And that might be in part-time jobs, full-time jobs, whatever. That has not changed. 21% of people with autism who would like to be employed, this is for the group who'd like to be employed, are employed. So there is a significant, you're absolutely correct, there's an open-mindedness, but these are two groups that are almost not ignored because they're not politically, there's not a political agenda around it. There's not huge votes in the learning disability community, so politicians aren't particularly interested. There is huge votes in the autistic community, and so there's a slight more interest, but I'm afraid that's the way of the world, and that's not being cynical or disappointed, it's just that's the reality. This is not a huge voting group. This is a disadvantaged group who is not getting what they need still. So, you know, if you look at the cuts in recently in the councils, you'll find a huge percentage comes off the learning disability budget because it's easy to cut because there's not going to be a huge kick out or anything else. And it's that. There is an openness. So society is better and actually more accepting. But actually, the politics and the everything else around it, it has not changed significantly. And that's the battle we face day in, day out. And that's what keeps us motivated, to be honest.
We just had a recent chat with a guy called Duo Oye, and he was talking, he was CEO of 2020 Levels, and that was about bringing people from different cultural backgrounds into employment. Is that the kind of strategy that Talkback or others in your kind of area are looking at with kind of getting companies bought into what you do?
Yeah, there's some really good companies who are, you know, I can mention a few of them, like there's the John Lewis Depot up in Milton Keynes, there's Securitas, there's people like that who are very progressive, are trying some new things and are open-minded to working with us, and people like ourselves, the National Autistic Society and everybody else. So there are lots of good employers. Aviva's just done some amazing stuff with their chief execs. So some really good employers who are starting to set the trend and starting to open the minds up to people. And part of the problem is just once you get the companies that are not accepting at the moment, to get them to actually see, and it's a time issue. It feels like it takes a lot of time. It takes longer to induct someone, but they stay with you and they'll give you just as good as everybody else. It's just that first period of time. And once people start to understand that, and they break down some of their mental barriers or their personal, you know, personal biases that might be against this, we're starting to see results. And it is about exactly what, you know, culturally, it's the same issues they're so struggling with.
Simon, what work is Talkback UK doing to support autistic people, and how is this evolving in the current climates?
We have a grant with Milton Keynes Council, we have had for many years, and I must mention them on this with their support they gave me and my colleagues and all of our members, really. They're very accessible, very helpful, and without them we can do what we do, which is just to support our members. So there's twofold, really. It's that social group offering that we have, and that's aimed at supporting autistic individuals. We meet a couple of times a month, and this brings together people from a social point of view and to ultimately get their voice heard. So our social group meets a couple of times a month, and that brings people together to share common lived experiences in life and helps reduce isolation and loneliness, which I've found this year that is especially important to people that have a new autism diagnosis. And a lot of our referrals we've had this year, of which there have been many, often tell me that they're somewhat lonely and they want to be with people that they can relate to. And it's having that confidence to reach out and know where to go, really. And as well as that, is to get our members' voices heard in a manner of ways. We have regular engagement sessions where we listen to what's important to them, really. And they drive what we do. So, for example, a lot of our members have that dual diagnosis of autism and mental health, and we held a forum with CNWL, who run NHS mental health services in Milton Keynes. And through lived experience education, where our members delivered their own experience of trying to access a mental health provision, with autism. They delivered their experience, and CNWL at the start of last year offered us the opportunity to co-produce a Think Autism conference with CNWL mental health professionals. So that's what we did, and our members spoke very bravely in front of a room of 75 on both occasions. So we reached about 150, and they told their story, their life story, or parts of it, their autism, mental health, and the barriers they face in life and accessing mental health services. So we joined up with them last year, and just this year, thanks to Community Action MK, who run the Mental Health Alliance, we were able to invite 30 local employers to our base in MK to think autism in the workplace and to promote autistic talent into local organisations. So we're positive campaigners through lived experience, if you like. But what's really meaningful is that the opportunity for people to get their voice heard has such a profound effect on our members who have the courage to tell their story. And I've got two examples of that. So one of our members, due to his upbringing and the way he saw the world and services he'd received, had a big trust issue with anyone, any service. And it took, he's gone from meeting me on Zoom 10 minutes every week to being a core member of our social group, because he spoke at this conference, he felt respected, he felt listened to. And as a result of that, off his own back, he got himself a job because of the impact that day had, his 10-minute speech had. Mm-hmm. And that's, again, what people, we go on journeys with people. Our work is all about giving self-confidence and self-esteem boosts so people can achieve, and they are productive, and they can, I can achieve mentality, really, which incorporates our values at Talkback, which is to never assume, always listen, and to forever explore. And that's where it becomes a privilege. And I go back to wanting a meaningful career. That's what I get on a daily basis. And another one of our members who spoke at our employment conference in June, he has joined a community he identifies with. His special interest, his passion is music. He was given his first paid DJ set in June, and he just wants his story told, which is done through our social media channels. But that's just the start, really. So it's twofold, really. It's our members having their voice heard, representing the autistic community of Milton Keynes, and for personal reasons as well, really, which is where the meaningfulness comes in. And when we think about mental health and the effect that we can by working together collaboratively with the NHS and the VCS sector, and the work we do ourselves, goes a long way, really. And the way it's evolved is that coming out of the pandemic, the VCS sector, NHS, as well as the council, they're so welcoming. It doesn't take me much to ask to talk autism, and that gives us all hope. That gives our members their voice, and that gives them hope. And they want to get their voice told to change perceptions, to break down stigmas, to look after the people of today, but also the future generations as well. And if they can play their part in doing that, then all the better. But I think that's how it has evolved. It's this all-inclusive world we now live in, really. And as I say, I've met through the Mental Health Alliance so many organisations that have the want to learn and the want to think autism, really.
Jeremy Hay, Simon Steed, thank you for contributing to Charity Chat.
Thank you.
Thank you, Sam, for your time. And thank you for all you do as Charity Chat. We really appreciate it. Thank you.
Big thank you there to Jeremy Hay and Simon Steed for sharing their insights and expertise with us here on Charity Chat. We've spoken before on the podcast about charities telling their stories well and what this achieves against their strategic objectives, especially with fundraising, marketing, and engaging new audiences. The power of storytelling and giving beneficiaries the chance to tell their stories is also a confidence-building opportunity for them, which in of itself can have profound benefits and explain the impact of the charity and the work that it does. A lack of government funding or support is a common thread across the charity sector, and while many charities are having to seek out new stakeholders to support their work, there are some like Talkback UK who are also working hard to develop good relationships with their local council as well as other charities as partners in delivering their work. Working with companies is a solution that is helping Talkback UK to meet their objectives for their members. We've talked a lot on previous episodes of the podcast about the benefits for charities in building meaningful and mutually beneficial relationships with companies and finding the unique selling point of your work to fit with corporate's objectives, not just philanthropic, but also commercial too. Autistic people and people with learning disabilities are just asking for the same opportunities as everyone else. Many of us in our work are personally and professionally aiming for an inclusive, diverse and equitable society. In the context of our chat with Jeremy and Simon, we can all help to create this for autistic people and those with learning disabilities by being open, creating employment opportunities, and seeking to understand those who think and interpret the world differently to us. So thank you, dear listener, for getting this far with us. We hope you enjoyed this episode of the podcast and continue to enjoy it. We'd love to hear either way. Please do like and subscribe to the podcast so you never miss an episode, plus share with any colleagues or friends who may have be interested. It's just left for me to thank our corporate sponsors. This episode of Charity Chat has been brought to you by our platinum sponsor, Work for Good. Work for Good is a fundraising platform helping businesses raise funds for charities through their sales. The platform makes the legal agreement needed for businesses to fundraise from sales quick and simple, saving charities time and resource and enabling them to raise more unrestricted income. Pop to workforgood.co.uk to learn more and to book a free demo. Also like to thank Giant Squid Audio Lab for sponsoring our podcast kit, Magda Aksumit for our beautiful website, check it out at charitychat.org.uk, and Forest of Fools for playing throughout the show and for playing us out right now. That's it from me. Keep on doing what you can. Speak to you soon. Cheerio. Bye-bye.